No visit to Prague is complete without paying homage to one of the most important buildings in the country in terms of history, symbolism, and function, the National Theatre, a physical manifestation of Czech national pride. The prelude to Bedřich Smetana's opera Libuše marked the first performance in the Czech National Theatre on the 11th of June, 1881. It's the most appropriate music imaginable for this defining event in Czech history. In fact, it had been composed just for the occasion 10 years earlier. It must have been a tremendously powerful scene to the 2,500 people assembled, the nationalistic Czech masterpiece striking through the Golden Auditorium up to the ears of the newlywed Austrian Crown Prince Rudolf and his Belgian bride, and all playing out under the famous slogan above the arch, Národ sobě, a nation unto itself. It is hard to exaggerate the importance of the National Theatre to Czech nationhood. Suffice to say, it was conceived to be the crowning achievement of the National Awakening and the cornerstone of Czech culture into the future. The ambition to build it in the mid-19th century is one of the key stories in Czech history, and it is told in epic form on the ceremonial curtain of the theatre itself, the largest painting ever made at the time by a Czech artist, first despised and later lauded by the fickle critics of the day. Hemmed by the crests of the towns that lent their stones to make the building's foundation, Wojciech Hinajs's work shows the meeting of the artists and craftsmen with the Czech commoners around personifications of comedy and tragedy to begin their enterprise. Standing beneath the curtain and against the backdrop of technicians preparing for Jacques Offenbach's Tales of Hoffmann, the theatre's Olga Simlari helped me imagine the atmosphere in which the National Theatre was conceived.
The Czech language was getting to disappear. People will speak Czech only in the small villages. In Prague, we have a big influence of the German language, and German intellectual, German theatre everywhere. So this Czech intelligentsia who start feeling after the revolution in Paris in 1848, no? So all these national feelings, they are reborn, and they wanted to build this theater, to have their own theater where they can play in Czech language.
And so the story goes that the huddled masses of Czech commoners under the yoke of the Austrian Empire shelled out what little they had to the Czech intelligentsia, yearning for their culture to breathe free. The foremost artisans from across the land came together to form what would be called the generation of the National Theatre. And interestingly, it's actually all true. The theatre keeps a large book attesting to every sum donated by Czech peasants and villages, with even beggars giving money towards the building of a theatre of the nation. The legend merely omits the fuller picture of the 30-year process of financing, a constant struggle supplemented by absolutely modern methods such as a lottery, corporate donations, and royal subsidies. But the building of the National Theatre was never easy, as conservator Petra Strakova told me.
The history of our building is very complicated. It was during a long time, from 1850, they tried to buy some place for building where they can see castle, old town, Petrín, panorama. So they found very nice place with saltworks where they produce salt, and this part was very contaminated. They must clean it, and after buying, cleaning and everything in 1865, they can start thinking about architects, and we had three competitions because they want theater where people see Czech theater, a construct of Czech architect, and the winner was Josef Zítek.
Zítek was also the architect behind Prague's grandiose center of music, Rudolfinum, and the famous mill colonnade of thermal fountains in the West Bohemian town of Karlovy Vary. But the fact that he was Czech was not the reason for his being selected. His design was immediately appreciated on many levels. For one, it was considered strikingly modern, even for Vienna at the time. For another, it was ideologically perfect, it being said that of all the candidates, only Zitek had grasped the all-important purpose of the monument. And not least of all, the design was exceedingly innovative in the way it worked with its confined space. Owing to the narrow area of the saltworks lot, the final structure was forced into the shape of a trapezoid. To seat 2,500 people on such a lot, Zitek thought up a unique chimney-like auditorium, the height of which presents a challenge for singers, and the cheaper seats of which are nothing for the acrophobic. After 16 years of work on the National Theatre, Zitek never set foot in the finished building, though. Nothing about the opening had gone quite according to plan. He was in a row with the building committee. The actors were complaining about the tight space backstage, and the public was complaining that they were not allowed into the theatre that had been intended for the people. The first performance for the proletariat would not, in fact, be held for another 17 years. 12 performances were held before the National Theatre closed for the summer, and it burned to the ground one day in August. Most say it was the fault of tinsmiths installing lightning rods on the wood and copper roof. Other theories include nothing less than an act of anti-nationalist terrorists, as we would call them today. But whatever the case, allegedly incompetent firemen, obstructed by huge crowds of shocked onlookers, failed to save a third of the building, most importantly the auditorium, in what was felt to be a tremendous national tragedy.
81 is built, there is a big fire. Big tragedy. Big tragedy for all who have been giving money, waiting for their own theatre, and suddenly nothing. So it is in the 2 years who followed where the people will collect again. So in 2 years you have rebuilt this part who was burned.
And thus continues the great tale of the National Theatre. The result you see today is a tour de force of national feeling, with murals by the great artists of the 19th century sprawling from the walls to the ceilings, and depicting the romantic history of the Czech lands, an endless gallery of busts immortalizing the supermen of Czech culture, and the grand elegance of the design. The importance of this memorial tradition is something that the theatre has to honour, even as it navigates the tastes of modern audiences. The director of the National Theatre, Ondřej Černý, in his cavernous office overlooking the Prague skyline.
I think it's necessary to have a look on the National Theatre in two lines. One line is the history and special place of National Theatre in the social culture in the Czech Republic, because the National Theatre is real, one of the main symbols of the national identity for the Czech Republic till now. On one side, we are obliged to keep this quite strong historical background of National Theatre. Another side is the theatre art, which we make in the theatres. On this level, we can say that we have to do innovative performances and not only some kind of the classical performances.
As it moved into the 20th century, the National Theatre expanded far beyond the confines of its central building to become an institution caring for the performance of drama, dance, and opera, with roughly 1,000 employees in stages ranging from the traditional to the experimental scattered around the city, with the illustrious building with its golden roof as its heart.